Now, prayer for the believer is certainly more than a box we check off a to-do list at the beginning of the day. It's more than a rote prayer that we utter at the end of the day. Prayer is simply the heart of man at any time over any matter with the hope that God will bring our lives into alignment with His visions and plans so that His will can then be lived out, so that we can daily evidence God's good and acceptable and perfect will. In other words, that we can experience God's very best. But for us to get to this point in our spiritual walk, we need help. And our help in prayer is the Holy Spirit, who prays for us, prays with us, along with us, according to God's will. Now this morning I want us to study how He does so. Now for a quick review, we are studying aspects of the Spirit-controlled life in Romans chapter 8. And in verses 18 through 30, we find that the Spirit-controlled life helps us to understand and to endure suffering. And we find in this portion of Scripture three groans. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the groaning of creation. Notice verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Last Sunday, we looked at the groaning of the believer. Verse 23 tells us that even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And now here in verses 26 and 27, we have the groaning of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 26, "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Well, let's learn more about the groaning of the Holy Spirit. And our first point, as I've indicated, is the believer's plight. And we see this dilemma stated in the middle of verse 26, where we read, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." In other words, we don't know what we ought to pray for. And isn't that so true? And why is that true? We have an imperfect perspective. We have finite minds. We have human frailties. We have spiritual limitations, which all work against us when it comes to praying according to God's will. Praying sincerely, praying faithfully, praying regularly is great. That should mark how we pray. But we are still not able to completely and fully know our Lord's purposes concerning our needs and the needs of others for whom we are praying. I think of Paul, who lived such a devoted, godly Christian life. We would think if anyone should have been able to pray always according to God's will, it would have been the Apostle Paul. Amen? But remember, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he prayed 3 times for the Lord to remove his thorn in the flesh. He felt that that must have been God's will, to remove that ailment, that issue that he had. But that was not God's will. God's plan was for his grace to be so powerfully alive in Paul that he could glory in his infirmities, that he would rejoice in his realized weaknesses as he truly witnessed the omnipotent power of God. And how true this spiritual reality is in our own lives. God's will for us is to come to that point where we too see our inadequacies, even in our prayer life, but then we see God's sufficiency, and thereafter we cast ourselves upon His throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And there at God's throne of grace, we recognize the help. And we perceive that the Holy Spirit is our help. He is our answer, as we see under our second point, which is the Spirit's prayer. Friends, verse 26 states, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Now, the Greek word for help is in the present tense, which tells us that the Holy Spirit just keeps on helping us. He just keeps on helping us. He doesn't take a lunch break. He doesn't take a day off. But the Spirit of God is always on call. In fact, He's always present to help us in our weaknesses. He wants to help us in our weaknesses. And how wonderful that is, because we are always in the state of weakness, which includes physical, emotional, and spiritual weaknesses. But again, the Spirit of God helps us. And the Greek word used here for help not only is in the present tense, but the meaning is actually helping someone else carry a heavy load. Martha used this word in Luke chapter 10, verse 40, when she wanted her sister Mary to help her in the kitchen. We need help. And the Spirit of God is the one who helps us. And He helps us with our prayer life. I know this is a rhetorical question, but how many of you know you need help when it comes to your prayer life? I know I do. I need help. And we have that help. God Himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit, intercedes for us with groanings. He's emotionally involved, ladies and gentlemen, with groanings which cannot be uttered, with sighs that cannot be verbally expressed. Now, please understand this Holy Spirit groaning has nothing to do with praying in tongues, as some might suggest. The groaning here is done by the Holy Spirit, not believers. And again, this groaning is between the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father. And what occurs is the Holy Spirit approaches God the Father, and He appeals to Him on our behalf. He implores God regarding our welfare. One theologian calls this inner Trinitarian communication. Again, we're talking here the divine articulations by the Holy Spirit to God the Father. And Paul confirmed this dialogue when he declared in 1 Corinthians 2:11, "For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." And by the way, this work of the Holy Spirit parallels the high priestly work of intercession by the Lord Jesus on behalf of us believers. And we see this ministry mentioned throughout the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able also to succor to help them who are tempted." We see this also in chapter 4, his intercessory work. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore," if you know it, say it with me, "come boldly unto the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And then in chapter 7, further speaks of the high priestly intercessory work of Jesus Christ. And we see it in verses 24 through 26. "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for us." Which brings us to our last point, and that is the Spirit's power. Again, as we inadequately pray, as we fail in praying to know what to say to God, what to ask Him, what is His will, the Holy Spirit takes our innermost feelings and He intercedes on our behalf. And these inarticulate sounds are heard by God. And how vital this reception. For verse 27 of Romans 8 states, He, referring to God, searcheth the hearts. Think of this reality, this truth. The omniscient eye of God sees our hearts. Remember, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Hebrews 4:13 says, Everything is naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Friends, the Lord knows where we're coming from. He knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our thoughts when they are far off. He knows when we sit down. He knows when we stand up. God takes notice when we sit. He takes notice when we stand. He continually counts the number of the hairs on our head. For some of us, you know, that number changes. Amen. I mean, he even knows when the sparrow falls. But think about it. God is so aware of us. He knows about the trivial things of life. And surely, if he knows about the trivial things of life, he certainly knows about what is important in our lives. And therefore, he surely knows what is best for us. You know, someone who knows you really, really well usually knows what's best for you. Amen? Young people, children, your parents know you pretty well. And so I think you need to understand they know what's best for you. Now, we don't always like to hear what our parents have to say, their opinion, but they love you the most. It's not your friends that love you the most, it's your parents. They care. And surely that's the case with our Heavenly Father. He cares for you. He knows what's best for you. And God also knows, he perceptively, he intuitively also knows the mind of the Spirit. And why? Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, according to the mind of God, which all means the Holy Spirit also knows what is best for us. And so what we have here is intercession is made for us as we pray not only by God the Son, who sits at the right hand of God, who, as verse 34 tells us, who also maketh intercession for us, but also we have God the Spirit who indwells us, who dwells within us, also making intercession for us with the result that God's will, God's best, think about this, what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit omnisciently know what is best for us is brought to pass through our prayer lives. And I say, what an awesome reality, what an awesome blessing, which tells me I need to pray. I mean, when I pray, when I bring my needs, when I bring my heart before the living God, I not only have God the Son interceding for us, I have God the Holy Spirit interceding for me. And they are interceding before a God who knows me perfectly. Don't you think they get my inadequate prayers right? What a loving and caring God we have. Now, what does God's will look like in our lives? Well, obviously, there are some things we do know from God's word that are his will. For example, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that it's God's will, it's God's best for us to be filled with the Spirit. Psalm 119:105 tells us God's will, God's best is for us to let God's word lighten our path, be that lamp to our feet and our light, that light to our path. Luke chapter 9, God's will is for us to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. Hebrews 13:20-21, God's will is for us to allow God to work in us what pleases him. Proverbs 3:5-6, God's will, God's best is for us to trust him in all of our ways and not lean on our own understanding. Micah 6:8, God's will is for us to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. 1 Timothy 2:4 tells us God's will is for all to come to repentance. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, God wants you to come and be saved. That's His will. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, God's will is for us to be thankful in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, God's will is for us to avoid sexual immorality. That is God's will. Jeremiah 29:11, God's will is to prosper us and to give us hope and a future. That's God's will. We know that. And when we take those promises, those commands, those challenges before the Lord, we know that, you know, this is your will and you're going to answer this. But in many circumstances, as I've already indicated, we may not know God's specific will, such as what school do I attend? How do I reach out to a family member who has walked away from the faith? How can I best prepare my children for the spiritual battles they are about to face? You know, school has just started. And I'll tell you, when school starts, the battles start again. Amen? Lord, who should I marry? You know, that's an important one. Who should I marry? And so how vitally important is this groaning and interceding of the Spirit of God as we pray? God's will becomes reality in our lives in every situation, in all circumstances, as God's Spirit makes intercession to God for us according to the will of God. Remember again, He knows what is best for us, and thankfully His requests are answered. And then we will experience the truth we find in the next verse, which is verse 28. And if you know this verse, say it with me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And what is His purpose? Well, we see that in verse 29. And that is conforming us to the likeness of His Son, the Lord Jesus. Friends, there's no greater blessing, there's no greater answer to prayer than for us to become more like Christ. God's ultimate will, God's very best, is for us to become like Jesus. And so every prayer we pray, every petition that we bring to the Lord, ultimately, God wants to, as He hears the intercession of His Son, as He hears the intercession of the Spirit of God, His ultimate desire is to take all of these circumstances, all of these situations, all of these sometimes trials of life, and conform us and transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing. And so we can pray, Father, I'm not always sure of what to pray for, but my supreme desire is to live according to Your purpose, to become more like my Savior. And so might Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And won't God be at work in such a life, bringing all things together for our good and His glory? And won't His power be seen in our realized weaknesses? And so let's praise God for giving us the Holy Spirit, who prays for us in power according to God's will. Think about that. We have a Holy Spirit who indwells us, who is praying for us as we pray according to God's will. And thus is fulfilled 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. How blessed we are. Friends, when you go to prayer today, remember you have help. You have divine help. Your help comes from the Lord.